On today's episode, we're going to start off with a little bit of local news. It's a very sad story that kind of just happened over the Mother's Day weekend. Then we are going to cover the, well, I am. I say that like there's somebody else here with me. But we are covering the Roe versus Wade topic with the Supreme Court leak that happened. And moving on through, we've got other news and topics. Stay tuned. What is up, ladies and gentlemen of the world? Welcome to the very first official episode of Take a Coffee Break with Nate. I'm your host, Nate. Now, I get it. I know I posted the trailer for this podcast a long time ago, but due to events happening in my life and mental capacities, I should have got on here and said something, but I just kind of shut down. I don't know why, but here we are. I'm in great mindset, and I wanted to start this podcast because I don't feel like a lot of our news medias portray the news like they should be portrayed. Let's just say that. And I'm not necessarily going to give an unbiased opinion about it, but I'm going to state the news and then make my opinion obvious. And it's going to be my opinion. If you believe differently than me, then so be it. It's not going to hurt my feelings one bit if you think this should be done this way or that. We're human. We're allowed to have differing opinions. In the end, opinions are opinions and facts are facts. We have to learn how to differentiate between those two. Now, listen, I want to start this podcast off each episode with a little bit of local news, if I have any. And today I do. I will not state the name of this town, simply because I'm saying that it's local news. But if you was to Google it, you're gonna find it. With that being said, it's kind of a sad story today. It is over Mother's Day weekend, which was, we all know, last weekend, I believe. Yes, it was last weekend. A younger guy, he was probably 21, 22, I cannot remember the exact age, but he got into an argument with his mother, and it was over an Xbox controller. I guess he had got it for her Mother's Day present, and ended up, an argument ensued for unknown reasons. He would not talk or say why or when or where or how, really. But the argument ensued, and he ended up pulling out a gun and shooting her. Now, luckily, it was only a .22 caliber long rifle bullet that struck her. So it did minimal damage, but it's just the principle of it. Now, after he done that, I guess he really just kind of assumed his guilt because he went to the neighbor's house, told the neighbor to call the sheriff. Don't even call 911. Just call the sheriff and tell him to come get him. He was already turning himself in. He didn't want to go anywhere. I guess, you know, in his mind, you know, what if he gets to where he changes his mind? At least there, if he stays there, he's got people that's going to keep him there. You get the point. But when the news stations tried to come around and tried to talk to him, he would not speak whatsoever. He said it was his duty now, and he just wants to be left alone, and he just wants to do the right thing and serve his time. Now, the reason I brought that story up is simply because of this. Here's where my opinion starts. I just want to stop and say that real quick. Where in this country, in this time, or I mean, not even really country, but in this world, have we come to the point where we get so mad over something as silly as an Xbox controller. Now, keep in mind with this particular situation, I don't know what the past between the mother and son is. I don't know if he was trying to patch it up. I mean, there's so many factors that could have been in this simple incident. But a few years ago, there was a case where this mother wanted her son to quit playing Call of Duty. And, like, it wasn't even escalating the incident. She had just fussed, said quit playing the video game and go do something. I'm guessing making him own up to his responsibilities or chores or whatever. And he just pulled out a gun and shot and killed her. Actually killed her. Now, the one that happened over Mother's Day weekend that I just mentioned, she did not die. She sustained non-life-threatening injuries, as far as I know, and treated at the local hospital. Everything's good. So, thankfully, there's that. But like I was saying earlier, where have we gotten to in this day and age that something as silly as that makes you just so irate that you want to have a knee-jerk reaction to pulling a gun on anybody? That brings me to the thought of how comfortable he is around guns. And when I say comfortable, I've always had this firm belief that even though we should have every right to own a gun, no matter what kind of gun it is, I don't think the government should tell us what we can and cannot have when it comes to firearms. But at the same time, we should always have a healthy, respectable fear for a gun, because we have to know, ingrained in every fiber of our being, that one pull of the trigger could end somebody's life. And the only time it should end somebody's life is in self-defense. The only time. And it has to be proven self-defense. I mean, you can't just pull out a gun on somebody who's acting a fool, acting like they're going to kill you and something like that, and they're standing 10 feet away from you with a knife. No. No, that's not self-defense. That is completely, completely just mishandling of it. Okay, we are talking about human lives here. We're not talking about some video game character that can be regenerated by the click of a button. Okay? It doesn't work like that. I don't know who's taught some people that, but it does not work like that. I mean, me personally, I love guns. I love shooting them. I love seeing different kinds, different designs. But I, like I said, I know that with every single pull of the trigger, if shot in the wrong direction or mishandled, it could end a life. I mean, look at what happened with Alec Baldwin. Now, whether or not your opinions on whether that was staged or not staged, but like planned out to be accident on purpose, or whether it actually was an accident, that's regardless. But you look at what happened there. One wrong pull of the trigger, and now a woman is dead. So in all reality, I believe that we should have a, maybe like a gun safety course, maybe in our high schools. I know that's going to tick off a bunch of people, but I feel like with more gun safety and gun respect classes that we can have, the better off we'll be. We just really, as parents, we need to step up and teach our kids the dangers of a gun. It's like my two oldest, I took them out the other day, and I got a bank, like a hill behind my house, and I took like a regular aluminum drink can, and I took my shotgun out there, and I told them, I said, cover your ears, because it's going to be loud, and I just took it, and I shot the can, and it was just a little 22 gauge shotgun. And then I showed them the can afterward, and I said, don't ever touch this gun, because this is what happens, or this would be your body, or your sister's body, or anybody's body, if it accidentally got pulled pointing at a person. And I really hope that set in. Of course, I keep all my stuff out of their reach anyway, And they're never here by themselves. So in the event that they would need to use it, I would be here. That's just plain and simple. They're not old enough yet. And by not old enough, I mean old enough to stay by themselves. All right, and moving on to another topic. I didn't really want to cover this one because it is such a wildly controversial topic. But frankly, being quiet doesn't work so well anymore. So with that being said, I'm going to talk over the subject of what the Supreme Court could possibly be making a final decision on come Monday. You guessed it, Roe versus Wade. Well, technically, they're not debating Roe versus Wade, but they are debating a case that came up about abortions since a certain time period, and the verdict from this case could be the final decision on whether or not we look at Roe versus Wade the same way. Now, let me just give you a quick idea of how Supreme Court decisions work. Do they make laws? No. There is nothing that a Supreme Court says that makes a law. That is up to your congressional branch or your legislative branch. They write the bills, they pass the bills, they try to sign them into law by sending them to the president after they're passed. But the Supreme Court is simply just there for in the instance that somebody says a law that has been made and passed, or a bill that has been made into law and passed and signed into law by the president is unconstitutional, they can sue certain entities over that. And it doesn't have to be a government entity. It could be a private organization. Like, there was a lawsuit against Planned Parenthood that went up to the Supreme Court sometime near the time that Roe v. Wade did. And when I say near, it within the decade or two. But I've heard so many people say, well, that law is so unconstitutional. How could they let it pass? How could the Supreme Court let it pass? Like I'm saying, the Supreme Court does not make a verdict on a case until it is brought to them. And for it to be brought to them, it has to make it up through the lower courts. And by lower courts, meaning every single court below them, from a local, district, federal court, has to make a decision that one person does not like. So they file an appeal to take it to a higher court. And once it hits the federal level, after that appeal, they take it to the Supreme Court. That is my understanding of how it works. Now, after that, in the event that the Supreme Court decides whether or not that a law is constitutional or not, when the Supreme Court makes a decision, it does not create a new law. Or when they say that something is constitutional, it does not create a new law. Keep that in mind. It just says that an existing law interprets to allow that instance. Okay? So when the Supreme Court may or may not, and it's looking like they will overturn Roe v. Wade, it's not saying necessarily that abortion is illegal, which in my mind it should be, but it's not saying that it is. It's just literally saying there is no reason the federal government should have control and make a law across the whole entire country on this, that it should be left up to the states and your local governments to decide whether or not this should be allowed. When our forefathers created our government, they knew that this bastion of freedom that we would have this in this country would be unprecedented. And they knew and they foreseen that we would have people from all different cultures, all over the world, trying to come here. So knowing that the culture of this area is different from the culture of this area, so they wanted to make it to where that the states and the local governments had way more power than the federal government. And over time, we have seen the federal government grab more and more and more power. And a lot of people will argue that the overturning of this in this Roe v. Wade is government power, but really it's not. It's just it's literally the Supreme Court saying, federal government, back off. This is not your game. Let the states decide. That's their prerogative. And to be truthful, in a way, it's not more federal government control, but it's allowing more state government control. But if you don't like it, I mean, that's the reason we have our local elections, is we have local representatives that go to our state governments to enact laws in our state. So if you don't like the way something's happening in your state, vote your local representatives and your local senators out. Or they may not be called senators and representatives in your state. I know that Kentucky, we have state representatives and state senators that are not the ones that are in Washington. So I don't know what they're called in your state. They could be called something completely different, but it is what it is. Now, moving on to my thoughts on abortion. Because I said I would enclose my opinion in this. I think it's murder. Plain out, unadulterated murder. Luckily, also, along with the abortion, the Senate, 51-49, blocked a bill that was rushed through to try to federally legalize abortions. Possibly, I think the intention was to try to create a whole entire new amendment that would allow nothing to be decided at a government level on what a woman could do to her body. Now, here's where, you know, even the Supreme Court could possibly step in if that was even enacted into law. But like I said, 51-49, Senate said no. We're not passing this. We're not even sending it to the president's desk. It's just not going to happen. But here's where the real argument happens. No matter how many laws they put out there saying that the government cannot choose what a woman does to her own body, when did they decide what a woman was? Because a month ago, they were having an argument on what defines a woman. They were battering the Supreme Court nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson, on what a woman was, and all she could come up with was, I'm not a biologist. So the left, at one time, could not define what a woman was. And yes, I said the left, because these are not Democrats. These are far past Democrat. I feel like either perspective, if you go too far right-leaning or too far left-leaning, you're no longer an American. You're just crazy. Because you cannot sit here and say that every single belief that this right person has or every single belief that this left person has is exactly what you believe unless there's other reasons involved. And then in that instance, you are a sheep. Completely a sheep. But to get back on the topic of the government trying to pass a bill that basically states that a woman cannot decide, or the government cannot decide what a woman does with her body, or allow, or whatnot, goes back to also the premise of, when it comes to abortions, it's not your body. It's not. I mean, you can say it's a clump of cells or whatever all you want, but it is still not your body. It is a total separate being, connected only by the placenta connected at the womb wall. It's not even a full connection, okay? It is And I hate to say it because I love kids. I've got three of my own. It is essentially a parasite. But even parasites are not your own body. So, regardless of how many laws they put out there stating that a woman can or cannot have an abortion because the government can or cannot choose what a woman does to her own body is simply saying falsehoods because it is not her own body. But then again, it goes to the fact that, like I said, I believe that abortion is murder. Plain out, upright murder. Now, also in this bill that they tried to pass, these abortions that the government wanted to put into law to allow was up to birth. Keep that in mind. A woman could walk into the delivery room tomorrow to have a baby, but she goes and has the next SNP today because she just don't want to deal with taking care of it. She just doesn't want to deal with the responsibility. Well, my body, my choice. You should have made that choice when you opened your legs. Wear a condom. You wore a mask for 2 years. Why can't you wear a condom? They make female condoms and they make men condoms. Obviously, because that's the more common one. But I don't know why, but that a lot of people shut down the idea of male birth control. I'm up for it, okay? Other than vasectomies, like a birth control regimen. Like, I'm up for it. I don't know why everybody's so against it. They're like, well, it causes hormone imbalance. Much like women birth control, there's probably going to be 500 different kinds. So find one that works for you. It's not that big of a deal. I feel like killing the sperm that is reproduced daily inside of a man's testicles is far less risky than trying to alter the menstrual course of a woman, regardless of how it's altered, whether it be the pill, Mirena, or one of them IEDs or IUDs. I keep getting those IEDs, a roadside bomb, or like a roadside bomb. No, IUD, I'm sorry. And, yeah, like, I feel like spermicide would be so much easier on the male body as opposed to what hormone therapy does for women. And I'm not trying to side with anybody on this. I'm just stating how I feel. Like, just going over, and granted, I'm not a doctor, so don't take my medical knowledge for a grain of salt, but just thinking that how this works in our body, that it would be so much easier to kill the sperm that will regenerate themselves tomorrow than it is to kill off or alter a complete menstrual cycle that only happens once a month, and a woman is only born with the amount of eggs she will ever have her in her whole entire lifetime. One man can repopulate the world. If every man in the world died out, one of them, he could repopulate the world with every single woman, with the amount of sperm he creates in a week's time. But I just want to say this. Yes, I did say that I believe that abortion is murder. But anybody who's ever had one, I don't hate you. I really don't. Like, I have no hard feelings for you. I mean, I feel very disheartened and kind of emotionally empathetic for the ones that literally are just ecstatic that they got an abortion. And or they, well, the ones, I heard one time that was talking about her abortions like they were swimming medals or something like that. Just like, how can you not have any conscience whatsoever about what you're doing? But for any female, because regardless of what they tell you, only females can get pregnant, whether they're a biological female or they have to be a biological female. I don't know why I even said that. But true men cannot get pregnant. Like, I don't care if they want to act like they're a woman or not. They can't. But like I was saying, I have one thing to say to any female who is thinking about or in the process to getting an abortion. I ask that you please just do at least one, but I'd like for you to do two things. The first one, after knowing how far along you are, how far into the pregnancy, I want you to look up videos of an abortion at that particular time in the pregnancy. You will find it's very, very, very horrifying at what happens. Like, gruesome. But two, the second thing I would really encourage you to do is go listen to the heartbeat of your own child. A heart that is beating inside you. It is not a clump of cells. It is a living, breathing human being just in the early stages of development that is breathing through the placenta, getting nutrients from you, the mother. Okay, that's going to end that segment because I'm getting a little heated and I'm trying to keep this non-opinionated, but you know what? It may turn into an opinionated podcast just because there is so much going on in this world. But we're going to take a quick break. And by that, I mean, I'm going to throw in a sponsor ad right here and we'll get back in a few, well, about a minute. All right, I'm back. And in this segment, I'm going to call it the Geek Corner. Why? Because your homeboy here is a natural geek at heart. I love science, I love tech, I love nerdy stuff too. So, why not? Let's talk about some news in that era. Alright, just looking at this topic, it's kind of cool. If you are a big lover of space and exploration and everything, then this is kind of right up your alley. Basically, what happened was, scientists grow plants in Apollo lunar soil. Remember those missions? The Apollo moon landings. Well, anyway, some of the moon soil, whether or not you believe the moon landing was real, let's just look over that. But apparently, scientists have grown plants in Apollo lunar soil for the first time. Everything sprouted. Well, that's understandable. Lunar soil, I've heard from the testing, is extremely nutritious to plants and plant growth, so I don't see why on Earth that it wasn't. So the scientist at the University of Florida who took part in the experiment said, "Everything sprouted. I can't tell you how astonished we were." Well, obviously. Every plant, whether in a lunar sample or in a control, looked the same up until about day six. But as every good story has a bad part to it, they went on to say that all the seeds sprouted, but within a week, the coarseness and other properties of the lunar soil stressed the small flowering weeds so much that they grew more slowly than seedlings planted in fake moon dirt from Earth. most of the moon plants ended up stunted. So the plants that were planted and grew in actual moon dirt, not the replicated dirt that we made here on Earth, supposedly, whatever you believe on that, the actual moon dirt plants, they ended up stunted. So maybe future bonsai tree creators. That's a joke. I'm sorry. I'll see myself out now. And kind of going along with the science, just simply because he is a big proponent of science and space exploration, let's talk a little bit about Elon Musk. Some people hate him. Some people love him. We have to stop and remember that, yes, he may be trying to be a proponent of free speech, but he is also the richest man in the world. And with great money comes great power, and great power comes great responsibility. So, yes, he may be buying Twitter, in which that deal is apparently on hold now for a certain reason, but he is still looking to acquire the company. But just for some reason, he's put it on hold right now. Something about the amount of bots that's actually on Twitter or the sources. But anyway, let's just look at him for a second as a person and just think, let's not label him a quote-unquote savior of social media. Because just as equally and easily as he bought Twitter or is buying Twitter, he can easily, after turning it private, become a canceller, just like we had before, but on a larger scale, because then he would not have to seek approval from the board of directors. He would be the owner. Because understand this, in a publicly traded company, no CEO can make a decision without the approval of the board of directors. But with his acquisition to 100% of the stock, he's going to be able to basically do what he wants. And they can't say nothing about it because, well, he owns the company. So let's just keep that in mind, that as easily as he freed us, he can also condemn us. But I guess the bigger question is why is it on hold right now? Something about the sources saying that there was only 5% of Twitter was bots. I find that hard to believe. 80% of my Twitter following is probably bots. So, with that being said, maybe I just need more followers. Y'all follow me at thedadlife92 on Twitter. If y'all have Twitter, that'll work. Just don't be a bot. No DMs. I will not talk. Because I love the ones, they'll seem like a real person, you'll follow them back, and then all of a sudden you get that, hello, how are you doing? And you talk with them a little bit, and then like 2 days later, they're trying to sell you some kind of weird Bitcoin. I just don't understand that. Like, why? Why does it got to be like that? And carrying on the Twitter trend, former President Trump says he plans to stay on Truth Social, which has yet to make it to Android, which that was supposed to happen like a month and a half ago, just saying, but that's besides the point. But he plans to stay on his own social media site and will not rejoin Twitter regardless of if Elon Musk unbans him or not, or unsuspends him. Now, if, you know, my personal opinion is that if he has any hope of re-election, whether he personally uses it or not, it would be a big candidatorial mistake, I believe, personally, that he does not let his campaign officials exercise the rights on to Twitter. Because True Social, it'll be a while. It may never, but even if it does, it will be a while before it picks up and gains the momentum and the speed and the popularity that Twitter has gained over the last 15 years. I feel like I remember them back when I was in the undergraduate years of high school, the freshman and sophomore years. I feel like it was coming out about that time. They were creating phones that were specially enabled for Twitter. They were designed around the idea of tweeting stuff. And I remember one of them being a LG NV2, I believe, which didn't matter to me because I ended up getting that phone, but I didn't have a data plan back then. That was in 2008 or 2009 that I got that. I think it was 2008. Yeah, 2008 when I got that phone. So, needless to say, I did not have a data plan with it. It was not unlimited then. You paid, like, maybe some odd dollars for the gigabyte. And it did not go over well on the times that I did end up using data. Oops. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. But yeah, I find that funny now. All these kids, they're like, I need a cell phone. I didn't get a cell phone until I was in middle school when I got a cell phone. When I say middle school, I'm talking about junior high. And I'm sitting here thinking, even then, it was one of them prepaid track phones when they first started coming out. No texting. And even if I did text, it cost me like a third of a minute. And that was prepaid minutes. So you're talking $20 for 60 minutes, which in turn, sending a message is a third of a minute and receiving a message is a third of a minute. So, yeah. That being said, I did not text. Did not hardly text at all. But then my mom put me on her plan at one point in time, and I got unlimited texting, and I was so ecstatic, which it didn't really matter for me because I grew up in an area that didn't have cell service. Still does not have cell service to this day. I think it would be very beneficial if it did, but regardless of the matter, it does not. So let's move on to little other news topics. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm literally trying to find some video game, what would you call it, news or info, and all I'm finding is stuff about hackers and Twitter. Like, I get Elon Musk just bought Twitter, but come on now. That's not everything that everybody wants to talk about. Ooh, break your phone addiction with these proven settings, but our phones are so vital these days. You gotta stay in the know-how. Alright, found us one. Sources say that finding a PS5 might get easier this year. Now, we all know that the Series S from Microsoft and Xbox has been fairly easy to find in the last year. It's that Series X that just has completely disappeared almost off the planet. If you can find one, it's usually online. But apparently, the company is forecasting a PS5 sales at 18 million this fiscal year. This business year, they're estimating 18 million in PS5 sales. That's a lot of PS5s. I believe that we are finally coming out of this chip shortage, which is a great thing. And I hope that we stay out of this chip shortage. Of course, we all know that the coronavirus really just kind of threw us in the hole on that in the last couple years. So maybe we're finally coming out of it. So let me ask y'all's opinion on something. You can leave a comment or, you know, just some feedback somehow. I'm just thinking, which do you all like better, Xbox or PlayStation? I know there's, and before you all say it, I know PC is better. I mean, when you can just replace one part and basically have a new system, I mean, that's kind of like the cheater's way or the rich kid's way, whichever you want to look at it. But anyway, think of it this way. I have had an Xbox 360. I have had a PS3. I've had a PS4. I have a 1X right now. I'm waiting for the Series X to become available, and then I will purchase it, like, fully available, and I have the money. Seems like those two times never line up. But the point is, when I played the 360, I liked it better. But, I liked the fact that the PS3 was free to play online. I switched to the PS3 for that specific reason. And then I became kind of like this PlayStation fanboy for a little while. I will not deny it. But then, the 1X came out. After I went through PS4, and I loved the PS4. I still love the PS4. I no longer have one for certain reasons, but I still, to this day, love the PS4. But I love my 1X just a little bit more. Because it takes me back to, like, the 360 days in my childhood of gaming. My teenage years. I can't really say childhood because 360 didn't come out until I was a teenager. So, I've kind of got mixed reviews on it. Or not mixed reviews, but just mixed judgment. Like, you have your PlayStation fanboys, you've got your Xbox fanboys. I'm just really in the middle. I'm going to evaluate each console for what it is. And at this point in time, my mind says that the Xbox is better. I have not partaken in the newest generation, so I can't make an assumption on that. All right, that's pretty much all I've got for today's episode. I'm going to leave you all with one note. I recently watched the documentary come out called 2000 Mules. And if you've not watched that, I really encourage you to watch it, no matter what political ideology you are. Like, it doesn't matter if you're left, right, in the middle, whatever. I encourage you to watch it. See for yourself some of the evidence that has been brought forth. Because if we don't get a handle on this now, yeah, if you're on that side, you may be thinking, well, they got us Trump free. Or they got us so-and-so free in the smaller elections. But stop and think, what if the same person, or not the same person, but the same tactics were used by the side that you don't like? What if in 2024, Trump did exactly what the left did this last time? You wouldn't like that, now would you? Okay, so we have to think ahead and protect future elections. Because it's not about the right now, it's about the future. Okay, so I encourage everybody to watch the 2000 Mules, if you can find it. It is very compelling. And it is very heart-wrenching and heartbreaking that we have come to that point in this country that the powers that be have this much control. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Y'all need to watch it. Just don't let it get you too mad. I don't want anybody hurt out of watching this. Just, I encourage it to be watched. So thank you all for tuning in today. I'm going to try to at least make one or two episodes of this week. I may do more, but we'll see how it goes. All right, thanks for listening. Y'all have a good day or week.